All of our patrons will automatically qualify for our exclusive prize draw. At the end of the season, 8 of them will be randomly selected and written into one of the thrilling chapters of Season 5. To enter, click the link in our description and sign up as a patron today.
Many holidays make their way around the globe. Some spread overseas, such as Christmas, Easter, and Valentine's Day. Others remain on their mainland, such as the Americans' 4th of July and the British's Bonfire Night. Most have at least some understanding of what we are celebrating. Christmas is, to some, a celebration of the birth of Christ, and to others, a time to be with family. Valentine's Day is dedicated to love, and Easter is to remember the crucifixion and return of Jesus Christ. You do not need to be British to have heard the line, "Remember, remember the 5th of November," the day in which we ritualized the failed assassination of our royalty hundreds of years ago. You don't need to be American to know of the feast that accompanies Thanksgiving and what that's for. Although, one holiday that remains almost consistently misunderstood is the celebrations we indulge in on the night of Halloween. Some fear its existence, uncomfortable with what it may represent. Some in England reject its celebration because it's perceived to be an American holiday, whilst others' rejections are connected to the connotations of the devil's mark amongst what they deem an unholy night. But what is Halloween? What folklore and historical steps helped morph this holiday into what it is today? My name is Luke Mordew, and this modern myth is the folklore of Halloween. This chapter of urban legends is a slight detour from our usual ways. Of course, Halloween itself is not an urban legend, and yet it is shrouded in legends, myths, and mystery throughout time. With our innate desire to understand the things that go bump in the night, it seemed only fitting to create a chapter dedicated solely to the existence of my favorite holiday. One that travels further back than many will know. The true origins of Halloween will always live vaguely against the grey mist of time, sitting amongst the changing seasons that many consider the beginning of the winter months, where the greenery fades to a beautiful mixture of gold, red, and bronze. The Celts, who lived amongst the shores of what is now known as Ireland, the United Kingdom, and Northern France around 2,000 years ago, would perform a festival named Samhain on what some believed would be the eve of their new year that begun on the 1st of November. They believed that on the night before this, on the 31st of October, the worlds of the living and that of the dead merged. It was widely understood that on this night, the two planes of existence would cross paths, and the walls between the living and the dead were at their thinnest, allowing the dead to return to Earth. The full origins of this festival will most likely never be known, with most of the information historians have being written down much later in time, in the 9th to 12th century, after Christianity had already reached the lands. The Celts also believed that this thinning of the veil allowed the Druids, or Celtic priests, to make predictions of the future. This was highly comforting to a civilization now heading into the short days and long cold nights of winter. The tradition was created of building large, sacred bonfires, where the people gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. It is reported during this celebration that the Celts would wear costumes, typically consisting of animal heads and skins. By 43 AD, the Roman Empire had conquered the majority of the Celtic territory. During the 400 years that they ruled the lands, two Roman festivals merged with Samhain's traditional Celtic holiday. One was Duralia, a day in late October when the Romans commemorated the passing of the dead. The other was a day honoring Pamina, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. It seems that throughout history, the changing season of autumn brought similar thoughts and festivals to different cultures worldwide, slowly blending as they met each other. Some have suggested that as Pomona's symbol is that of an apple, its incorporation into the celebration of Samhain may have led to the creation of apple bobbing that remains a mainstay of Halloween night to this very day. Many years later, in the year 609 AD, Pope Boniface IV established the Catholic feast of All Martyrs' Day in the Western Church, with Pope Gregory III supposedly expanding the festival to include all saints as well as martyrs in the 8th century. He also changed the day of the observance from the 13th of May to the 1st of November, which became known as All Saints' Day. It was in the 9th century that the Christian influence spread onto Celtic shores, where it gradually blended and morphed into the more traditional Celtic rites. In 1000 AD, the church officially made the 2nd of November All Souls' Day to honor the dead. Many historians and scholars see this as an attempt by the church to eradicate and replace the Celtic Festival of the Dead with a more related church-sanctioned holiday. All Saints' Day incorporated some of Samhain's previous traditions, not destroying it entirely, but molding it in a way that the church could control. Very soon, the evening before All Saints' Day would be known as All Hallows' Eve, a name that would eventually be simplified as Halloween. In medieval times, All Hallows' Eve was known to be a time to appease the dead, being the night when the veil between the two worlds was thin. To this very day, this ancient belief from our Celtic ancestors has remained, with people even now believing that the spirits will return in this night. Households across countries such as Austria, England, and Ireland would now be known to have candles burning in every room to guide the souls back to their earthly homes, with these little flickering flames of guidance given the name of soul lights. As well as this, many Christians across mainland Europe believed that on Halloween night, the dead of the churchyards would rise from their graves for what would be called a wild, hideous carnival, creatively named the Dance Macabre, which was often depicted amongst church decorations. In response to this, the Dance Macabre was sometimes even enacted at village pageants and court masks, with people reportedly dressing up as corpses, inadvertently becoming the world's first Halloween costume party. By the 16th century, parts of Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and the Isle of Man had taken up the act of mumming and guising. Mumming was the act of performing various antics in exchange for food and drink. Guising was a Scottish term, due to the disguises or costumes worn by the children. In Ireland, the masks themselves were named false faces. It seems clear that the act of mumming and guising was the early creation of what would later become trick-or-treating. In Ireland, if the households they visited donated food, they could expect good fortune. However, if they did not, they could expect misfortune. Whilst in Scotland, the young went from house to house with masked, painted, or blackened faces, often threatening to cause all sorts of mischief if they were not welcomed by those they visited. Another connection historians have found to modern-day trick-or-treating is that of soul cakes, inspired by the All Souls' Day parades of England. During these festivities, the poorer citizens would beg for food, receiving pastries from families named soul cakes in return for their promise to pray for the family's dead relatives. This was a practice that the church encouraged as a way of replacing the older practice of leaving food and wine out for roaming spirits. People would do this to appease the spirits, preventing them from entering their homes. Not only would people do this to stop spirits from coming inside, but they would also be too afraid to step into the darkness of the night, fearing that they would encounter a ghost if they left their homes on All Hallows' Eve. Instead, they would wear masks to ensure that the spirits roaming the streets did not recognize them, simply mistaking them for another spirit and leaving them alone. For so long, there were strange traditions that are just about recognizable in what they would become in today's society, what they would evolve to be on our ghoulish night of Halloween. Soon, this holiday would travel overseas to the lands of New England, where it would mold itself to be what we understand today. If you've been listening to my show for some time now, you'll have most likely noticed that there's large gaps between seasons. I often receive comments, messages, and emails from listeners requesting our return, and I do sincerely wish that these gaps could be shorter. You see, when delving into the captivating tales of folklore and urban legends, there's a lot to uncover, and it's extremely important to me that we maintain our standard of accuracy. But this takes time. I create this content and release it for free, and this won't change, but the show does require support. So if you love what we do and you want to be part of Urban Legends' continued expansion, then you can join us over at Patreon by following the link in our show notes. Through Patreon, you can spare as little as £3 a month to support the show and ensure its longevity. As a Patreon supporter, you'll receive each new chapter the Friday before its official release date every week, giving you early access. On top of this, there'll be no ads, and you'll also receive a private podcast feed just for you. You'll also receive a discount code for all of our upcoming merchandise and have access to behind-the-scenes looks into our progress. You'll also have access to our group chat on the Patreon app, where you can talk to myself and others about all things folklore. And to show my gratitude, I'll personally thank each of you at the end of every chapter. The minimum cost of a subscription is less than a cup of coffee. However, I'm running this through an honor system, giving you the opportunity to give more if you wish and are able to do so. So please do give what you can. If you can't do that, or if you want to know what more you can do, then please do leave us a rating on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcast, or anywhere else you listen to our show. The more we grow, the faster these turnarounds will be. You can find out more and join us by following the Patreon link in our show notes and clicking join. So come with us and let's uncover the mysteries of urban legends together. But for now, back to the legend. As the colonization of what is now known as North America began, the beliefs and customs of different European nations began to merge, mixing with the tales of the natives of the land. Harvest celebrations were public events by the middle of the 19th century, whilst neighbors would share stories of the dead, tell each other's fortunes, dance and sing, not to mention the active pranks and mischief-making that came with it. Although, even with this evolution of the holiday, Halloween was still not celebrated everywhere in the country. That was until the latter half of the 19th century, when a wave of new immigrants headed to the brave new world. Most notably, the millions of Irish fleeing the Irish potato famine, bringing with them their celebrations of the festival, solidifying Halloween as a national holiday. The now Americans of the land would continue many European traditions as they began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money, a practice that would eventually be officially given the name of trick or treat. The fortune-telling aspect of the holiday traditions had also stuck, with young women performing playful small rituals with apple seeds, yarn, and mirrors to see their future husbands, an act that would connect to the urban legend of Bloody Mary. In the late 1800s, a movement was created to mold Halloween into something else, to make it more of a holiday about community and neighborly get-togethers rather than about ghosts, pranks, and the supernatural. And by the turn of the century, the parties focused more on games, food of the season, and festive costumes. It seemed that the encouragement parents had received from newspapers and community leaders to take anything spooky or dark out of Halloween celebrations was successful. Due to this, Halloween lost most of its religious and superstitious overtones by the time the 20th century arrived. Not until 1920 and 1950 did trick-or-treating re-emerge, growing further with the number of children from the baby boom of the 1950s. Slowly but surely, the darker aspects of Halloween had returned, whilst the religious connotations, whether Christian or pagan, were gone for good, leaving behind a mishmash of cultures, ideas, beliefs, and stories. This holiday is genuinely shared by all, and still misunderstood by so many. Many urban legends stem from the beliefs that come from Halloween, and our obsession with the macabre and supernatural are represented to us by how excited we grow each spooky season that arrives. Although, hidden amongst the tales of Halloween is an extremely old urban legend, one that you may not know, yet have been ritualizing for many years. From the 18th century, imitating dark spirits led to pranks and mischief in the Scottish Highlands and Ireland. Many aspects of Halloween stayed away from the borders of England until the 20th century. It would then become a popular holiday amongst the millennials and beyond. It was during the 18th century that these children performing the act of guising would keep something else with them. A hollowed out turnip as a lantern, often carved with a grotesque and macabre face. Depending on whom it is you ask, its purpose is to represent the spirits or to ward off the evil ones. Once the mass immigration to North America had occurred, the immigrants themselves found that instead of turnips, they could grow the native pumpkin, which was much softer and far larger, making it far easier to carve than a hard turnip. With this, the earliest recording of pumpkin carving goes back as far as 1837 in America, originally associated with harvest time rather than this specific association with Halloween. That was until the 19th century. So came the tradition of carving faces into a pumpkin, eventually becoming the symbol of Halloween, with its simple yet spooky design, now named Jack-O-Lantern. Related to the urban legend of Willow the Wisp, the reason these carved pumpkins have such a specific name is an urban legend of its own, one that was passed down as folklore for many years in Irish tradition. The story is told of a man named Stingy Jack, a cheap Irishman who was always looking for a way out for paying for the drinks that he loved to consume. One night, Ian invited the devil himself for a drink, but once they were done, he didn't want to have to pay. So he had an idea. He asked the devil if he could turn himself into a coin for him to pay with, only to turn back once Jack had left. The devil, enjoying the company of Jack, obliged, and turned himself into a coin to pay. Once he had done it, Stingy Jack, living up to his name, decided he would rather keep the money instead. So he placed the devil into his pocket beside a silver crucifix, thus ensuring that the devil could now not turn back to its original form. Eventually, with a silver tongue, Jack freed the devil after agreeing to leave him alone for 1 year. And if he were to ever to die, the devil would not claim his soul. Wanting out of his pocket, the devil agreed and stuck to his word once released. The following year, the devil returned with a vengeance in his fiery heart. But now, Jack had enticed him with a beautiful fruit that hung from a tree. Unfortunately, he could not reach it and get it for them. The devil told him that he could and climbed up to pick them. But Jack carved a cross into the tree once he had done so, leaving the devil trapped upon the branches. Once again, he had fooled the devil, promising only to scrub out the cross if the devil agreed to leave Jack alone for 10 more years. The devil was furious, but agreed, and, once again, stuck to his word. Stingy Jack may have been able to trick the devil into giving him more time, but unfortunately for him, there was no way to trick death, and within a few years, he had passed. This would prove to be only the beginning of Jack's problems, as once he arrived at the gates of heaven, he was rejected, with God explaining that he could not allow such an unsavory character inside. In his frustration and bitterness towards Jack, the devil also turned him away from the gates of hell, turning his silver tongue against him as the devil reminded him that he had sworn not to take his soul. The devil sent Jack off into the darkness, with nothing but a lump of burning coal to light his way. Jack placed this coal inside a hollowed-out turnip, where he would carry his new lantern across the earth's shadows for all eternity. He was no longer known as Stingy Jack, being given the new nickname, Jack of the Lantern, before it was eventually simplified to what we now know today as Jack-o'-lantern. Over time, people in Ireland and Scotland began to make their own versions of Jack's lantern by carving scary faces into turnips or potatoes, placing a candle inside and putting them by doors and in windows to frighten Jack away if he or any evil wrongdoers was to ever walk by amongst the spirits that visit our lands on the night of Halloween.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from Storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit UrbanLegendsFolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.